This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Country Duty Show on CliffCentral.com. My name is Dumisole. My Twitter handle is at Dumiso.
Hello, Country Duty listeners. Thank you very much for tuning in. And we would like to send out another very big congratulations to Ladysmith Blackman Bazo on their fifth Grammy Award.
I remember growing up in the township with the E20s and the likes and taxis. They would pump this song properly. And it's testament to the fact that they've been at it the longest. I mean, that was probably before I was born.
But quality been, music.
They've been there. And I think, you know, we need to, in my view, cherish our musicians and artists and not only celebrate them when they're gone.
Yes,
and
they've held
it.
True.
They've held it, you know, for the longest of time. So how's your week been, SG?
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been so crazy. I had so much happening. Been all over the place, running around, trying to get stuff. And the news has just been pouring in. Everything happening all at once.
My goodness. I agree with you. It's been crazy. I mean, the breaking news that's been happening every day.
Every day. January, like in a day, you've got so many news happening all at once. Like in a day, you probably have like three big things.
This is the thing. I mean, if you look at what January has been, it's actually been a year on its own.
Yeah.
And you know, and we've been characterizing it as months. We had breaking news yesterday. We have today as well. I mean, Lucky Montana, what a performer.
Yeah, my gosh, can he be dropping bombs like that? But he's always been a guy who's calling out names and calling shots anyway.
But for me, though, even though he's been doing that, you know, a year ago, especially on ANN7, where he said something contradictory. And yesterday, he had the entire South Africans and people were having doubts.
Were like, listen,
you know, maybe Lucky must be the CEO of Eskom and stuff like that.
But he, Vele, has a lot of information. And it makes you wonder what he benefited out of it. Because, I mean, nothing has been happening to him as well.
Yeah, no, this is the thing. And you know, for me, the Gupta pie or gravy train, for that matter, it's probably coming to an end. One of the breaking news today is that announcement by MultiChoice.
Yeah, that's true.
But I have a, you know, fundamental, I think it's a business decision. I think I understand it legally. I mean, that people have different views. But what's at stake here, it's the employees at MultiChoice, because those ones are the ones that are going to, you know, get
It's always the case. It's always the case. The innocent people are the ones that that get hit the hardest and have the biggest fall and the biggest fallout. And, yeah, it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. I hope they find a way to actually fix this without having a massive economic loss on them.
No, of course. And I think, I mean, I sent out a tweet and I, you know, pleaded and the likes of ENCA 702 or any other major radio stations. In fact, here, even at Cliff Central, let's open our hearts and not punish employees of ANN7 due to some political decisions that were taken by the principals. They had to earn a living and they did what they did. And we may agree or disagree with them, but end of the day, these are upcoming journalists, and if really with the necessary mentoring and exercise, they probably make the best of it and become the best. I mean, Mike Apple, for example, was at ANN7.
Mm.
Clement Manyathela, who are now, you know, esteemed news readers and presenters, are from there.
Yeah.
But it just shows you with proper training, conduct and ethics, you'll be able to get in there.
True, that's very true. We'd like to take your calls and hear your views on 0861 555 189, your WhatsApp messages on 0797482090. Do let us know what you're thinking about the MultiChoice saga.
And also, please use hashtag Country Duty, tag at cliffcentral.com, tag at Dumisole.
@_K.
Yeah, and we'll take your tweets and your messages and ensure that we read them live on our show. Today is the last day of Jan, as you would know, and our month has been very interesting because we took a principled decision to deal with education issues. And, you know, as sad as it may be, it's coming to an end, but I think we'll be able to say that we've done our part in our country duty.
That's very true. Today we're going to mainly be looking at the basic education, our foundation phases, trying to find ways and solutions to actually kind of foster it and build it up to so that going forward, the children from the foundation phase have a proper solid foundation that the teachers can build on leading up to the later grades and matric, up to matric and stuff. So we've got some very interesting guests that are going to be coming in to tell us how they would be or what programs they're running to have this going on.
Yeah, no, for sure. And what we try and do on Country Duty is to get people to tell us their initiatives, their stories that ordinarily you may not even find on mainstream media.
True.
These are the people who matter to us and touch lives and communities and stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, they do extraordinary things that should be commended. And I think today will be testament to that. While at it, and you know, you may have seen Country Duty listeners a tweet today regarding a lady from the Eastern Cape. She sought assistance from not only Country Duty, but from each and every one of us as South Africans. She's a young lady, employed, not really any much, but she stays in a very, you know, not so great shack, and she needs assistance. We've retweeted it. We've asked for people to assist. We've noted your replies. We will read a few of them here, and we ask that in any way that you can assist, please do, and ensure that we get help where we can.
And we do our Country Duty. Indeed. And we've done it before, and we'd really appreciate if we can actually carry on doing this and doing for more people.
Indeed. I mean, the power of social media has changed the dynamics, and it has changed everything that we do, and from, you know, ensuring that fees are paid to identifying criminals, you name it. Yeah. So on today's show, as we said, we have very interesting guests and would definitely love to hear from you. Send us your voice notes or WhatsApp messages on 079-748-2090, and our studio number is 061-555-189. Remember to use the hashtag Country Duty, tag at Dumisole,
at @handful_K,
and at cliffcentral.com,
at Country Duty ZA.
Indeed. While we're at it and getting our guests to come through in the studio, I think, you know, we must, as it's norm,
celebrate
Lady Smith Black Mambazo. I know that there's a bash that's going to be organized for them.
Yay.
Whoever is listening, I'm happy to to get a ticket of some sort and go and celebrate the legends while they're alive. But I think it's prudent that we play a song, really, from these giants and ensure. I mean, they raised the flag. They did their Country
Duty.
They did
us proud.
Yeah, I know. And we must acknowledge. So, selector, let me just put in a lovely song.
Country Duty, thank you very much for staying in. Like we said before we left, please call us on 0861-555-189. Our WhatsApp number is 079-748-2090. We would like to join the conversation with us. We are still continuing with our education matters. Today we're going to be talking to two great people. We've got Book a Bicycle. Mpumelelo, he has an initiative that's really exciting and he'll be telling us more about it. And he's also actually the lead essay hero of the month. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we also have Simnikiwe, and she is from The Citizen, and she's also going to be telling us about so it's a crazy thing that they decided to ask us for help with, yes. Where we're going to be calling, having volunteers to read to the grade fours around the nation on the back of the report from Pearls last year that we spoke about, where reading for comprehension was so bad. So we are trying to fix and find solutions around ways to fixing this. So welcome, Simnikiwe.
Thank you very much for having us.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome, and it's about time, and thanks for coming through. We're really excited to have you on the show, and I think it's going to be a very interesting show. But without really wasting time, and as it's norm, some people say Chivali is dead, I disagree. If you could just please just tell us a bit about yourself and what you do and stuff, and then we can then thereafter talk about your projects and stuff, so that whoever's listening can hear a few things about you.
Okay, so I am a journalist. I've mostly worked in radio and television, but for the past 2 years, I've been at The Citizen as a writer, as a journalist for the print.
Yeah.
For their print platform.
Yeah.
Yes, and I've always had a passion for reading and writing specifically, especially when I was a child, I was a loner, so reading was the only thing I could do.
Fantasy escape.
Exactly, yeah. And so it was especially heartbreaking for me to see the report last year about what's going on with our grade fours in the country, and I think it speaks to a lot about not just what's happening in grade four, but what's happening in preschool level,
yeah.
What's happening at people's homes. And I think there's just so much that contributes to our literacy rate. And we can't just say that it's our education system.
Yeah.
It's a whole, chain of events that happen that lead to this.
Sure. And we'll get to that and in the details and how you've perceived the report and stuff. Mm. But you can tell us about you and what you've started. I think it's excellent. But our listeners would definitely love to hear from you.
All right, cool. Ndingumpumelelo Mthintso, a Soweto born creative. Whatever that I do, it's mostly around creativity.
Yes.
Which is the reason why I came up with this creative idea to collect books and donate them to local schools, trying to get the reading culture to stay alive, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a super reader or anything,
yes.
But I'm also getting into the culture. For the past 3 years, I've just started also reading,
yes.
You know, because I can't be out here telling people to read.
To read,
yeah, well, I'm not, yeah.
Lead by example. That's
so, yeah, for the past 3 years, I've started reading, and yeah. I see the importance of it, so I just want to pass it on to the next person, basically.
Mm. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hear that initiative and collecting of books and stuff. How do you go about doing it? And maybe before you even tell us how you go about doing it, how did this come about?
Yeah. Well, I was born in Soweto,
yeah.
So I grew up in Soweto.
Why Soweto? I'm weird Soweto.
Yeah. Nzalwe Dlamini.
Okay.
Yeah, but Kulele Orlando. So Orlando East, yeah.
Yeah.
And then my business is based in Orlando West.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, so this came about really... in a way, Oguti, I saw that there's a need for improvement, Elokini.
Yes.
You know, and it can only start with education, you know.
Yeah.
As soon as we learn how to read, we make that a norm, then we get to know what's happening around us.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how I came up with it. But the most thing that actually sparked this thing was when Fees Must Fall was, you know, the hot topic.
Mm.
Then there were side comments that... that the youth were using Fees Must Fall to be lazy.
Yeah,
we don't want to read, we don't want to write.
Yeah, we're too lazy to study,
you know?
And all of that.
Yeah,
and
so
escape.
We're not doing anything, so we're just lazing around. So I wanted to contribute positively from my side personally.
Yes.
You know, so that's how the whole initiative started, basically.
Lovely. And I think it's great. And it's necessary. It's interesting that, you know, Fees Must Fall was seen, and at times, depending on where you are on social media, is seen as this force and devil. I mean, the likes of Blade and stuff called people third forces, I think.
He literally said students must fall.
Yes, yep. that much.
He did. Yeah. He did. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't. Like
just
our future.
Never forget.
Yes, but interestingly, it's amazing how the mighty fall, eh? And I mean, he was on the receiving end the other day and stuff. But your views and very interesting. I mean, you've heard from Nombumelelo. I think it's a very interesting one. And
I'm going to go into a little bit about what we actually want to do, and then I'll go into my views and why this is kind of very close to my heart.
Sure.
So my colleague Amanda, she's sitting there waving.
Yes, no, Amanda is a soldier.
She's a fighter.
She's very clear. No, she's very clear on issues. Yes.
So my colleague Amanda came up to us the one time in the newsroom, and she said, "Listen, guys, we should read to kids at school. we should do something.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't really have a plan or a set, strategy for anything. But all we knew was that we want to reach out to children.
Yes.
And actually sit and spend time with them.
Yeah.
Not just reading, you know, like a robot, but, you know, just really engaging them and trying to get them excited about this wonderful thing called reading. And I think a lot of times there's things like the language issue.
Yes.
The phenomenon of South Africans who are mostly forced to be bilingual if they are ever going to get an education.
Yeah.
And at the same time, as much as the importance of indigenous language has to be emphasized, there's also something to be said about the delay of most children in learning English.
Correct.
Which is the medium we use, that drives our economy. It has to be a language that also reaches children as young as possible.
Yeah.
You know, without losing our identity at the same time. So, yeah, it's something that's really close to my heart, and I really hope that people will come out and you know, help us with venues, help us with books, anything that we can get to get the ball rolling. As soon as we get that first thing done, I think it will
talk go on from there.
Lovely, yeah, awesome. Sure. Go ahead. So I think you effectively coming on the show, asking for help, and you know, trying to galvanize support insofar as this initiative is concerned. I don't know if you've had sight of the report and how shocking it was and stuff. In your view, what do you think were the red flags and you know, what can we do as a society and people who are listening on country duty to do better and advance education?
Okay, well, when the story came out, it was last year, so I don't remember much of the detail, but obviously the thing that stood out for everybody was this statistic that was saying that 78% of grade 4 learners are effectively illiterate.
Yeah.
In other words, they can't read with the comprehension at the level of somebody who should be in grade 4.
Yes.
Which is something I honestly was not shocked, but I was saddened by the confirmation of the fear I've always had that there must be something that is terribly wrong with our basic education system, or something that's going on in our basic education system. That leads to people even going to varsity with, substandard levels of reading with comprehension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is not something that's new to us in terms of anecdotal evidence, but to see something that's been properly researched, it really is a call to action in a way, and it's something that people shouldn't let die until the next report comes out. And for me, the thing that stood out was that we shouldn't just look at it as illiterate, as in they can't read and write, as in our teachers don't try to teach these children. But I think it's a symptom of a very an ailing system that needs to be it needs to be augmented. It needs people to sort of add to it. It cannot just be up to the schools to get children to wake up in the morning excited about reading and writing.
Yes. So is there a way that you think that we can go about this without infringing on teachers' space, so that they don't
Satu on their studio?
On their studios. You know, they're going to come after us at a force, like, yo, you guys think we can't teach, you know?
Actually, I've had very interesting conversations with people, the leaders of SATU, I don't know about everybody who's a member of SATU and every teacher, but definitely from what they are telling me as leaders is that they are very much aware of the issues that are also facing teachers that preclude them from teaching at the level that they would like to be teaching. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of them is a lack of training and updating their skills.
Yep.
You know, and the other one is, the lack of support for communities that are known to have issues that lead to illiteracy.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, I think that makes sense. And I think this is where you come in from a community based perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, you can take us through what normally happens. I mean, you said you've been running this for 3 years or so.
Yeah.
Are you looking at young ones, teens, who are normally a bit problematic and don't want to listen at home, for example? Or how does it normally happen, and what you've seen with this project?
Yeah, I'm just trying to like absorb what she just said.
Yeah.
You know, especially about the grade fours. That's, yes, yeah, that's, yes. That's some serious issue.
Before you answer to me, yeah. I just want to know how does it work? What do you yeah. guys do and how does it work?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what we do is we offer bicycle tours, right, mm-hmm. around Orlando West. Sometimes Orlando East also, depending on how fit you are to cycle, you know. So our tours are educational tours, and then you get your other fun tours that includes other activities, basically.
Okay.
You know, so what we do is offer bicycle tours. You know, so where the initiative comes in is that bicycle tours in Orlando East, they're quite pricey.
Okay.
You know, for local people, mm-hmm. you know, for international people and like visitors,
yes.
you know, that's what yes. we call them. We call yeah. them visitors, you know, they don't really mind paying 600 to Kweli Baiskeli. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For us local people, that's too pricey.
Yeah.
You know, so I came up with this idea that, look, donate a book and then we'll give you a discount.
Yeah.
You know,
nice.
Because Onkomtu, I believe you have a book or two that
sign
you're not
up.
Using.
Absolutely.
You know, you have a book or two that's at home that you're not using, you know. So in that way, we're able to collect those books. That's how we collect the books. And then what we do with the books is we then have these rides where we ride to local libraries mm-hmm. that need books. And then we donate those books there.
Okay.
You know, so last year, part of the program was for us to ride to a orange farm, you know, called
from Orlando.
From Orlando to okay. Orange Farm. Yeah, we cycled.
And I think that's lovely. It's a way of keeping fit as well.
Exactly.
And,
you know,
imagine donating a book and in the instance also
and
just riding
fit.
Being fit,
and
yeah.
keeping fit.
I mean, at some point, the statistics about obesity in our country were like,
skyrocket
high,
as well.
You know what I mean?
There's so yeah. many problems, guys.
You know?
Where do you start?
It's like the obesity issue. I remember Gareth had tweeted something a while ago, and you know,
it caused
havoc.
Fires.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff. But the long and short of it is we do have health challenges in this country.
Yes.
And you know, this type of initiative talks to innovative ways of dealing with
of
it.
Of dealing with it,
and,
yeah.
And giving. But so, you donate books, you ride for a course, effectively.
Yeah.
But who are your intended recipients? Other than just really, and I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I think
the age groups of the children's that you all the books that you
yeah.
collect.
When we started, right, we used to donate anywhere where we saw a library, a lokshini would go in and ask if would they like some books, and then obviously they'll like some books, you know. And then we think it's donated, but then we realized that some other places what happens is these books they stay in boxes,
yes.
you know, because now Wungumdu wants to donate books, you know, now the library is filled with books but they're not really effective. So I focused on a children's library in Orlando West. It's called the Orlando West Children's Library.
Okay.
It's behind the Hector Peterson Museum.
Yes.
Yeah, just when you go further down. So at least with that library, then we get to do many activities and not just donate and leave the book there, you know. We sit there, we read with the kids. You know, they read to us also, you know, just to show that these books are doing
this
something.
This is so cool. I think this
changed.
Is what we want to do, right?
This
yeah.
is definitely, it sounds like something that could really, you know, even we would want to be involved in, because if you're saying you have all these books and we're saying that we want to go to places where the libraries are not stocked up enough for
yeah.
us to
yeah.
even go there and say, okay, we're going to read these books to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and that's definitely something great. And the other thing that I was thinking about was the fact that a lot of studies show that if a child is reading a book that they can relate to from a cultural and community point of view, then they are more likely to be enthusiastic to try and read
and engaged.
Book.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you find a lot of times if you go to your normal, not even just Model C school, but any school, they read books that are mainly sourced, you know, from authors
outside.
Overseas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know you have like a 4-year-old Katlego. I mean, okay, maybe 8-year-old Katlego
yeah.
is reading a book about snow and, you know, Father Christmas and things that are very sort of distant
yeah,
to
like
our
that
our
they
lived
do
reality,
not relate
yeah.
to.
You know?
Yeah, true, true.
But I mean, if Katlego was to read about, you know, Sipho and the great soccer ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds like something that Katlego can get excited about.
Indeed. Yeah. And I think both of you are touching on a very important aspect of education, which is really, you know, we need to now start about decolonizing it and call it for what it is at the end of the day. You know, we're not, you know, with respect, saying history doesn't matter, but we need to also start talking about what's important and what's relevant that kids could relate to. And perhaps, you know, for those who are listening, we and people I know who are writers and stuff who listen to the show, we need more content and African literature to a certain extent that can drive this.
We had somebody on the show, remember, when we were talking to the educational therapist who is a founder of something that the books get translated. So they take an English book and they translate it into any one of the indigenous languages.
Oh, yes. Nice. I remember that.
I just can't remember what the name of the company is right
now. We'll pull them out on some of our tweets. But what is also coming out, really, it's the collaboration. I mean, Think Nompilelo spoke about what they want to do and how they do it. Whereas you guys want to go to communities. So in my view, you've already identified where you could start, for example.
Yeah. A source of books.
But you know, if we were to start this project and people were to come through and say, listen, this is what we want to do with you and stuff, you know, how would you go about doing it, for example?
Okay, so one of the ways we were thinking of doing it, that rather than going to individual schools, we would perhaps choose a community hall that is central enough for enough schools to be able to access at the same time, and choose just weekly venues that we go and visit, and we try to create a hype around it, get people, community members involved. So it's not just us three journalists trying to do this on our own.
Of course.
And, you know, we'd very much welcome other people who have a lot more, you know, Twitter influence.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's very important. I mean, if you look at how we could use Country Duty effectively, and really gather the people. I think, in my view, with this initiative and your initiative as well, we must now, I think, just after our musical break, just speak about how we can go about it and get support online and talk about potential hot points and see how best we can galvanize the support, and also see if we can access the Department of Education.
Yeah, that would be great. And also, if anyone can identify maybe a specific school or a specific community that they feel that really needs this kind of service.
Yeah. Please send your comments and your voice notes to 079-748-2090. That's our WhatsApp line. Our studio number is 0861-555-189.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the Country Duty Show on CliffCentral.com. As you've heard, we are discussing making education fashionable. More importantly, trying to decolonize literature. And our lovely guests in studio have discussed some of their initiatives and, you know, the target market and stuff. But I think it's important that we continue with this discussion. We're happy to take your calls on 061-555-189. Our WhatsApp number is 079-748-2090. But yeah, SG.
Well, thank you very much for staying in with us. We've still got Mpumelelo from Book of Bicycle, and Sneewe, our citizen.
Yes.
Journalist. So guys, we wanted to know, what do you guys need us to do to make these things grow and to start in the reading to grade four's case?
Okay, well, I think just because of your influence that you have vis-a-vis you know, that what little influence we have in terms of asking people to come forward, and you know, through the channels that you might have in terms of identifying communities that are in need of this. And I was just speaking during the break about how it's not just about going to the township schools, but also the inner city.
The inner city, yeah.
Yes. So anywhere where schools and communities are under-resourced, where the illiteracy rates are high, and where the schools are struggling with their learners in terms of getting them to be able to read.
Okay, and if volunteers wanted to sign up, who do they talk to, and how do they get about getting in touch with you?
Okay, I don't know if I should give my cell phone number out on radio.
You might just get bombarded.
But you can tweet me at onlynikki89. That's only NIKKI89 on Twitter, and and
Facebook. And oh, that's old school. I'm just asking. I mean, I have a Facebook account, but I go there every, I think, after 3 months, and it's the, you know, it's a saddest thing. I leave on Twitter.
No, we're not really looking at Twitter, Shim. It's fine.
I think Twitter, yeah, Twitter helps.
Twitter's quicker. Twitter's instant.
Yes. This is the thing. Yeah.
Yes. Just any way that you can help, and I can even give my email address.
Email address. Yeah.
So my email address is simnigiwe. That's SIMNIKIWE. And then the letter H at gmail.com. So simnigiweh@gmail.com. If you could just let me know, point us in the right direction. Where can we make a difference in a little child's life?
Great stuff. And you do need, as you said, books for you guys to go and sit and, and read. You know, you spoke, I think, during the break about fitness and health. And I think before we broke for the musical, take us through that for health freaks who are listening to the show and want to do it. Well, what's the something that would entice them?
Yeah. You know what I always say when it comes to book a bicycle? I say that enjoy the health benefits of being on a bicycle and help educate a child. You know, because this is about writing and donating a book, right?
Killing two birds with one stone.
Exactly. So what we do is, like I say, when we go donate, we don't have like big trucks to put these books in, you know. Yeah. We use our backpacks and we get on our bicycles and then cycle to wherever the books are needed. Yeah. You know, so that's where the health side comes in.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we also have different packages, you know, to accommodate Wonkumtu. I mean, we have the men upright during the 16 days of activism, you know. We have your bicycle days during the month of February. You know, to get you and your partner, your crush, to come and cycle.
That's like tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it starts tomorrow, yeah. So, the month of love starts tomorrow. So we have all these different packages to accommodate Wonkumtu just to get everyone to be active a bit. You know, I mean, if a 30-minute walk is healthy for your body, can you imagine 2 hours of cycling?
Okay, so what about people who can't ride? And I'm asking about myself. Yourself. I can't ride a bike.
So what we do with people that cannot ride bicycles, you donate a book or two and you get a whole day for free bicycle lessons.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to fall and scrape my knees. I got nice legs. I'd like to keep them nice.
Look, since last year, we've been training people, like we've been giving lessons to people. I think we've given about 15 girls, 15 females, we taught them how to ride. None of them have fell ever.
Okay.
You know? I mean, you can check our reviews on social media. None of those girls have fell. So I trust that you will not fall. You know, I trust that you will
not fall. I better not fall. You said it on A.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the initiative. Is Thank it on you. Saturdays, Sundays, or?
It's any day. Remember?
Any day.
Yeah, any day. We open weekly. From Monday to Monday, lovely. If I can put it that way. Yeah. We open from Monday to Monday. We're all about, we're based in Vilakazi Street.
Yes.
So if you want to find us, it's really easy.
Your contact details. I mean, I know people are on Twitter and probably on Facebook too.
Yeah, we have a page on Twitter. It's book_Iponi.
Yes. Iponi.
Yeah, Iponi is a township. It's a township way of saying Ipaiskil, you know. So book Iponi. So we've decided on that name this year because we wanna also include local flavor. You know, wanna teach the visitors, like I said, you know, your foreign tourists to say, look, this is called Iponi. Eloxine. Yes. Where you're standing, it is called Iponi. So we decided to just put that. So it's book underscore Iponi. And then on Facebook, it's Book a Bicycle, but it's going to change soon. Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, these are, as we said, listeners, very interesting and innovative, you know, initiatives that we have to support, and it will, you know, help a great deal going forward. And, you know, with hashtag Country Duty, these are things that we need to punt, things that we need to make sure that we harness and ensure that our people, especially the kids, are out there and loving this. When are we going, SG, to...
No, can you just calm down a little bit? Like, really, I'm just trying to get over the fear of having to, like, get on this bike. So I want to know, if somebody is... You're right now saying that you're based in Soweto.
Yeah.
People who are, or teachers who are listening in on the show, who are from outside of Soweto, if they want to also help or take part in this, or have you guys come to their communities, how do they get in touch with you?
We use WhatsApp. I heard you guys saying she wasn't given the number. But like, we have a specific number for
if you have a specific number.
Absolutely. Cool. I mean, I think if it's a specific number and it's more accessible.
Just don't want people calling you at, like, you know, awkward hours and then you're there.
Cycle me to the venue.
Like, you know, and I felt bad. I mean, I called you at what time to ask you to come on the show. I felt so bad. And I was just like, but it was just time.
It's 061-371-9013. So that's instant reply. So people from outside Soweto, outside Joburg, because like I said, we have packages that accommodate Wankumtu. So for the one for the month of love, right, the bicycle days package, we have people from Botswana, you know, saying that they're coming to South Africa, so they want to cycle. We have people from Mafikeng, we have people from Mpumalanga that booked already to come and thing and cycle.
So when is that happening, or is that throughout the month?
Yeah, it's throughout the month, but the main event is on the 24th and the 25th of Feb. So that's you, your partner, your crush.
I think you're right. This is a call to your WCM. They call MCM. I know I haven't featured there, but
I had to include up. Yeah, I had to include up because I was going to talk about love. So it's people, MCM and WCW.
WCM.
WCW. Was
it?
Woman. It's WCW.
WCW.
Yeah.
Before we call it WWF, we must be careful. But the long and short of it really is, it's a very fun, but more purpose-driven type of initiative, and we need to support this. And we're also pleading to everyone who's listening, particularly the education department, when you get a chance listening to this podcast, do get in touch with us using hashtag Country Duty. My handle is @Dumisole, and
SG, say it. Like, my name has just been erased.
Perhaps you must just change your Twitter handle to SG. Perhaps
@handful_k@countryduty.za.
Yeah.
You guys also have a website, right? That's where I found you guys at bookabicycle.
Those are all under construction since we sort of like reinventing ourselves with Bookiponi. You know, everything is about to change and suit Bookiponi for 2018.
All right, then that's cool. That's cool.
We don't know what South Africa has in store for us. What do you guys think? And now that I'm thinking about this, the current state of politics, one way or the other, have an impact on reading literacy? And if it does, or in fact, it doesn't really matter. It's just really what it is, and we must deal with what we got. What do you guys think?
The current state of politics.
Yes, in our country. Does it have a bearing? Literacy.
Everything.
Does it, in any event?
Everything that government delivers to us is delivered purely on the strength of political will.
Yeah.
So if there's a lack of political will to fix problems in education, then you're going to have a problem.
Yes.
That's just my opinion, by the way. I don't.
Yeah. Okay, so how do you feel about now? Education or books or literacy,
mm-hmm.
literacy, moving away from paper-based to now your e-books and your like, yeah, your technology?
Okay, honestly, I observed the very groundbreaking initiative that the Gauteng Education Department is doing, trying to do paperless classrooms, mm-hmm. and having kids use tablets, yeah. and everything. That is all good and well, mm-hmm. but only in a very idealistic, equal society.
True.
Where have something like a tablet isn't completely foreign to you, to the rest of your lived existence.
Yeah.
You can't be living in a shack.
Carrying a tablet.
And exactly. Yeah. There are so many realities involved in that. Yeah. First of all, it's probably worth more than a lot of things that are in your house, in your home. Who are these tablets going to help? Even with the teachers, there's a lack of training in sort of what sort of apps to download and put in these tablets and whatnot,
e-books and whatnot.
Yeah, so we need to do a very holistic approach. We need a very holistic approach to moving towards better technology to move kids away from just paper. Like, let's start with the basics. Let's start with kids being able to read just paperbacks.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Instead of just, okay, now you must go read an ebook, and the next thing, they haven't even had the...
Exactly. But obviously, at the same time, there are some studies that say that in a lot of ways, cell phones, especially smartphones, have made children, but this is in first world countries, though, have made children read more and better. So,
but you see, they also then have access to data so that they can download the necessary books and all of those things. Yes. So we still have quite a lot of challenges ahead of us before we can get to still developing countries and stuff.
I'm against it.
We'll definitely get there.
Yeah, I'm against e-books.
You're against e-books?
Yeah.
Is it just this nostalgia thing?
Yeah, look, I just feel like you get a feel when you're reading like I don't know if I should call it a proper book or a normal
book. A proper book.
Yeah, I was saying that the other day, even the smell of paper. Exactly. So this e-books, and can I just say, I'll probably get in trouble for this, but...
Go ahead.
Corporates, they only do this donating tablets and whatnot to where they will benefit.
Yeah.
So they'll go to a famous school in Vilakazi and say, hey, look at us, we're donating these e-books for getting schools in places like Orange Farm.
Yes. Yes.
So... I'm really against this e-book
just
thing.
Publicity stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
Where the tablets in Kwakwa.
You know what I mean? And all these tablets, they get sold after, like, when they're done. Like you said, you have a tablet that's worth more than some of the items in the house.
Mm.
What do you think is going to happen at the end of the month if we don't have food?
Exactly.
Prioritize.
That has actually happened, though. There have been a lot of times when these tablets go missing.
Exactly.
And you can't really ask the child, like, Tabo? Where's your tablet?
Yeah.
But
I think
I like your choice of names. It's like everything close to home. Like, touch me.
This is the thing.
I think it's clear, and it talks back to making it fashionable and understandable, to the people. But I think the education department is doing great insofar as trying to, match us to the first world. So I hear your views on tablets and stuff like that, but so be it. I mean, if it really comes to you for our tax money and stuff like that, surely there are other things that we could focus on. But if it implies, more importantly, a black child, so be it. And I agree with your point that corporates really identify what, sticks to them. And I know some of them, if not most of them, are listening.
Yeah.
We have two important and really, good people who are driving initiative and are pleading with you to help them access and make education fashionable. And do contact us at countryduties@a. Use hashtag countryduty. It goes beyond your CSI. And really, if you want to keep it under wraps and stuff like that, we'll be happy to do that. We've done that. But I can assure you that CSI has changed, and it changes dramatically.
Yeah.
And let's use social media for a positive change. And this is the time.
So we're trying to mainly look at decolonized books. So most of the books that I'm imagining you would like to get donated would be your African-based authors, your African-based stories and literature. Mm. And then if possible, obviously, we can also get your Nguni languages going.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, we have to be very realistic about it.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of what we would like to be reading to our kids out there.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm appealing even to NGOs, that there are NGOs that publish yes. books, especially, you know, your indigenous centric sort of books. We really would like to reach children in a way that they can also relate when we read these books to them. But even if it's a book that doesn't fit that criteria, obviously the most important thing is that we're here, we're reading for you guys, and we're trying to maybe instill some kind of
love.
Sense in you that you can and will become somebody who can read and write as well as we can.
And I think to your point, and we touched on this, a user on Twitter asked, listen, surely the likes of tablets, which I know Nompumelelo is against and stuff, talks to, listen, let's paper cuts for sure, probably more infections, however. What do you guys think?
More infections?
It's not clear. I was just reading it, you know, verbatim. Like but I think what like they're saying is...
From a paper cut. Okay.
All right. Less instances of paper cuts and probably less infections, I think. And maybe that's a good thing insofar as tablets and the likes are concerned.
I think one problem that tablets would solve is that a lot of textbooks in the education system go missing every single year. There are thousands of kids who, for whatever reason, don't come back with the books that they were using at school, and then there has to be a whole process of getting more books, and that gets, you know, obviously with through our government
departments. You know, it takes months to get anything done.
So if everything was in some kind of server, and you could ring it up anytime you need it, then that would be much better than, you know, sifting through thousands of books.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, from no tablets to actually it could work type of thing.
Yeah, I don't think it was a no tablets. It was a matter of can we just
right now
get people to not kids to learn how to read.
To learn how to read.
Let's start with the basics. Yeah.
We get in there. Yeah. And just, you know, last words from you here before we conclude the show. For someone who's listening, what do you want to say to them?
No, like I said before.
You can send a shout out if really.
Yo,
look. Hey, it's okay to stand up. It's okay.
The mixtape.
Yeah, coming up. Well, really, I'd just like to say, look, we have packages for all sorts of people. You know, like I said, with the month of love approaching, we have bicycle dates, which include exciting activities. You can come and do bicycle tours, walking tours, wall climbing, beer tasting, all in one package, you and your partner. I mean, when last did you do something exciting with your partner, you know, instead of just roses and whatnot?
Yeah.
So, like I said, enjoy the health benefits of being on a bicycle and help educate your child.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yourself?
And we're calling out to corporates, publishers, NGOs, just individual good Samaritans like ourselves.
Yes.
So anything that you can contribute in terms of books, I don't think we really need money per se. We need the actual books. And if anybody knows where we can source these, indigenous-based or African-based books, that would also be a great help.
Yeah.
And and you can contact us obviously through Country Duty. You can contact me at onlynikki89, and we can take it from there. And to all the parents and caregivers and children out there who are thinking to themselves, I'm never going to read at the level that I need to be able to. I think that it's something that is doable, that everybody needs to contribute to, and it's not just, we can't have another lost generation.
100%.
Yeah.
You said a mouthful. And that wraps it up. Thank you, Tweeps, for listening. I know I'm saying listening because I know you're definitely going to download this podcast. Yeah. It's very important. It makes sense. And these conversations are important. And that's it for the week.
Thank you very much for joining us. And we hope we will see you at the Book a Bicycle Tour.
Thank you.
Let's go do something different.
Great stuff.
This is CliffCentral.com.